go, let's go, let's go. Let's go. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Unbought and Unbossed, Canadian political news and views. This is show number 119. Today is April the 29th, 2009. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This show contends that 9/11 is Canada's single most important issue because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offer further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your television off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. Our ignore it and maybe it will go away on its own mentality is killing us. It has to end now. It is high time to wake up and to educate, to learn to work together, and to find the courage to act on our love for one another. Our every freedom is at stake in this battle for truth and accountability. The prize is nothing less than the health of our collective human soul. The revolution has begun. I suggest you find your role. Hi, friends. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Bruce Coburn, of course. Actions Speak Louder. That's going to be followed by DJ Shadow and Ashley McIsaac. What do I have for you today? Show number 119. Well, I have my first interview with Nathan Moulton of Calgary 9/11 Truth. He's a videographer. He's done a lot of, well, in the world of YouTube, he's done a lot of well-known clips. I can think of one. Jack Layton, NDP federal leader, saying how he's good buddies with Barry Zwicker. Yeah, they're tight. They're tight. Anyways, among other things, Nathan is also near completing a movie called Activist. And it's based on his experience through his videography of the 9/11 Truth Movement seen from Calgary. Nathan's a young fellow. I believe he's 20. He's been doing this for a couple of years now. This is the first time that he'll have been on the show, so that's nice, a new name. Okay, so that's going to be happening in, we'll get that going in maybe 10 or 15 minutes. What else do I have for you today? You know what, let me start with some announcements. Last week was Fund Drive at CHLY, and boy oh boy, the pledge is looking really good, over 15,000. We were shooting for 20,000. I would like to see more pledges tonight. Dylan is in the booth. If you missed your chance last week, please call and make a pledge while Dylan is here. So, you know what? I do have tons of new business. Oh, my friend here is, Alice is in the studio with me, a good friend. And you okay? You tripping on yourself? I'm just asking you to sit down. That's okay. All right, then. Okay. So, getting out to, there was a lot of support from the 9/11 Truth Movement here in Canada. For example, business sponsors, now they're not a business, they're just groovy people who understand the importance of independent media, and that's what you're getting. So, Edmonton, 9/11 Truth, once again, donators to this this station and the show, as well as Fraser Valley 9/11 Truth. Again, a repeat, a new one, is warcriminalsout.com, Wayne Pronte's excellent site. So thanks to Wayne. Also, Mike from Hornby Island Painting. Now, that is a business. Now, I don't have a phone number, so, Mike, I'm probably... do you want me to give a phone number? I'm not... I can't do too long of a commercial for you, but I can certainly give a phone number. So moving on to another real business, Seaview Automotive. Bernie at Seaview Automotive is new to town, and, well, he's an independent, so that's a good thing. Most of you have cars out there, and, well, you need a mechanic now and again. So there we go. Okay. And this will be the final time that I'll give this announcement. Edmonton Questions 9/11, their second showing of that theme little mini-conference, is coming up May 2nd, featuring Barry Zwicker, peace activist, media critic, author, lecturer. Well, he's going to be giving a lecture. He was on my show 2 weeks ago. That was a hell of a show. Really enjoyed that. And it's being downloaded in fantastic numbers. From my website, so that is nice also. It's worth it. And also, Bruce Sinclair will be stepping in for Robert Balsamo, both of which were pilots, or from Pilots for 9/11 Truth. So Bruce was also a donator to CHLY last week. Very nice. Okay, so other things that we're likely to get to, I brought in my book of Splitting the Sky's autobiography, written in 2001. I'd like to share a little bit of that. Splitting the Sky was made a short appearance on the show last week, the fund drive, to encourage listeners to make a pledge to donate some money to keep an independent station doing what independent stations are best at. And, well, and that's, as far as I can tell, being most unlike your newspaper and television. Yes, indeed. So, there we are. We'll be looking at that, and it's talking about, well, fairly early in his life. I don't think he'd be 18, 19. Talking about experiences in prison and that type of psychological warfare against someone. It's very frightening, and Splitting the Sky is a hell of a speaker if you've heard him on this show, and I'm enjoying what I'm reading from his autobiography as well. Okay, other things. I've got a piece on water fluoridation, and that's an unfortunate thing, especially because in Nanaimo, our water does have fluoride in it, and there's a lot of reasons why that's not a good idea. So Dr. Osmondson is going to be talking on that. Also, a piece by David Icke. He was interviewed by Project Camelot not too long ago, and he's talking about losing power can sometimes be gaining power, and vice versa, but specifically looking at your reality. You know, if you're willing to reach into the abyss of the unknown and ask tough questions and, you know, follow the rabbit through the hole. You know, if that's what we want to talk about, reality. And, you know, my show is shifting a little bit. It's still, you know, 9/11 and New World Order based, but I'm also really interested in the UFO phenomenon, and that's taking up a little bit of my time. I want to share some of the things that I've been learning about that. Let me see, in particular, Crop Circles, Jim Mars, Stephen Greer. So those are three pieces that we may or may not get to. Again, I'm not too sure how long this interview with Nathan Moulton, Moulton, M-O-U-L-T-O-N, Moulton. Okay, I've got a couple good pieces by two of my favorite politicians. Yes, there are a couple politicians that I would strongly back. These are Americans, Dennis Kucinich of Ohio, and Ron Paul of, where is it? Is he Texas? I think so. That's funny, I'm drawing a blank on that. Anyways, they're both talking about the same thing, that to either nationalize the Fed or audit the Fed, get control of your money. That's where the problem is, and these two politicians are bang on that. Okay, I also have a short piece on the BCSTV situation coming up in the May 12th election, the referendum on, do we want a single transferable vote system? And the Unbought and Unbossed show is backing that decision. I think I'm allowed to give an opinion on that. So that's a good piece as well.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
okay, there's even a few media people that I would back, and one of them is Keith Olbermann of MSNBC. This is a recent piece in which he's saying that Obama, the new president, Mr. Change and all that phony stuff, well, he's giving the past the government, these criminals, a pass on their torture. And Keith Olbermann, well done. You said it quite well. So we're going to hear that piece. And then another one talking about Facebook. I'm not a member of that, but, well, the people and the money behind it, it's not very good because it's basically a voluntary government surveillance. You're giving them all the information that they want. So that's something you might want to rethink if that's something you're into. All right. So that's a lot of stuff. I'm not positive I'm going to get to it all. But we'll find out. Let me see. Where are we going to go to next? Okay, well, why don't we do the weather report? So let's get the weather song on. You know what I think I'm going to do right now? I'm going to put on that the piece on water fluoridation. This is Dr. Bill Osmondson. And he's got some, well, pretty scary things to say. And, you know, this is happening everywhere, and it's like it's accepted. And why is that? It, you know, if they can't produce, you know, the hard research to say that, you know, it's all about keeping your teeth clean, apparently the records will, that it is, that is not the case, Florida in the water. So we'll move on to that. And when we come back, we'll have Nathan Moulton of Calgary 9/11 Truth. So there we are. Of course, you're listening to the Unbought and Unbossed show on CHLY. We're at 101.7 FM from Nanaimo, downtown Nanaimo. If you want to catch us online, that's something you can do. Live streaming as well, so you can get us anywhere that the World Wide Web goes. So we're at www.chly.ca. And to listen live streaming in the top right corner of that homepage, go to the lo-fi. Don't hog up the bandwidth. That's a cool thing, too. Okay, we'll see you in a little while.
Hello, I'm Dr. Bill Osmondson. I'm a general and cosmetic dentist and have been a dentist for 30 years. Before that, I received a master's in public health in nutrition and health education. For the first 25 years of practice, I promoted water fluoridation aggressively. I thought I saw the benefits. It wasn't until I actually looked at the information myself and sat down and looked at the different government agencies and the different reports and the studies that I began to realize that fluoridation was a problem. One of the first things I did is I looked at my tube of toothpaste. It says drug facts. I know it's a drug. If I were to give it to you, it'd have to be a prescription. That's for swallowing. When it comes to toothpaste, it also says don't swallow. And if you do swallow, contact the Poison Control Center. Well, the amount of fluoride that they're talking about is a pea-sized amount of fluoride. You probably don't see that in advertisements, a pea-sized amount of fluoride. Usually when I see an advertisement, it looks more like a Dairy Queen ice cream cone. That amount is a quarter milligram of fluoride. Well, that's the same amount of fluoride as what we find in 8 ounces of water. Quarter milligram of fluoride, quarter milligram of fluoride. Don't swallow. If you do, call the Poison Control Center. One of the things that concerns me is water fluoridation for infants. The American Dental Association and Center for Disease Control recommend that infants not receive water for drinking nor for making their formula. It's 250 times more concentrated in fluoride than mother's milk. We shouldn't fluoridate water and harm our most vulnerable. The next thing I looked at was dental fluorosis. These are the white and brown spots on the teeth. The only thing that causes dental fluorosis is fluoride. Too much fluoride ingested, usually during the developing years, birth to about 8 years of age. When I see people coming in to have treatment for dental fluorosis, I mention to them that they have had too much fluoride. And this is an indication that the rest of their body has probably had too much fluoride also. Their bones and in the rest of their organs. Damage from dental fluorosis is not disputed. Everyone agrees that too much fluoride can cause dental fluorosis. About one-third of children are now experiencing fluorosis, according to the CDC. The next thing I wanted to look at was benefits. What are the benefits of it? I've heard reports of 20 to 40%, 60%, 80% tooth reduction with water fluoridation. So what is the benefit of water fluoridation? And I had a close look at several factors. One, comparing different countries of the world, we can see that no matter what we do on fluoridation, whether the country fluoridates or no fluoride at all, decay is reduced the same amount in all countries. We can compare states in the United States. We can see on a graph that as they're plotted in order of increased amount of fluoridation in the state, fluoridation doesn't make any difference. We have the same amount of good health in the states regardless of their fluoridation. Same thing for counties and other locations. That was disturbing to me. If there's no benefit, well, why are we fluoridating? I have two requests for you. One is to talk to your dentist and your healthcare provider about fluoridation. Ask them if they've seen the National Academy of Science report on fluoridation. Give them information that they may not have on water fluoridation and excess fluoride exposure. That helped me when my patients casually, calmly, quietly said, have a look at this. This doctor, this dentist is concerned about water fluoridation. What do you think? None of us professionals want to harm our patients. Our whole lives are given to improving the health of people, not harming them. And so for those of you who are healthcare professionals, I highly urge you to look once again at the science on fluoridation. Science doesn't need to be scary. It's just information. Spend a little bit of time looking at it on both sides of the issues. Don't just look at one side filtered. Look at both sides and weigh it for yourself. The other thing is to sign an online petition with me at fluoridealert.org. The online petition requests Congress to have hearings on fluoridation. It also recommends that we no longer fluoridate our water. Thank you.
Okie dokie, there we are. That was, who was that? That was Bill Osmundson. Dentist, talking about water fluoridation. So if that's something you want to look into, it might not be a bad idea. As promised, I do have Nathan Moulton on the phone from Calgary. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Right on, buddy. This is the first time that you have been on the show, and I'm sorry it took so long. But I've been following you in Calgary and the things that you're doing, and you know, a lot of your videos. You're, I guess, a videographer, and you're also fairly young. So I'm curious on how it is that, you know, are you completely self-taught? Was it, you know, part of a high school class, for example? So maybe can you tell us a little bit about your relationship to Calgary 9/11 Truth and kind of how that started and when was that? When did you wake up to 9/11 and start doing your thing?
Well, when I was in high school, after the events, I questioned the events and looked into it and didn't really start talking about it too much until I had informed myself about the events, and it was obvious through all the pieces of evidence that it was an inside job. So what I did was I made a documentary showing these pieces of evidence and going through things like the Project for a New American Century and Operation Northwoods and things like that. And I handed out that documentary to all the students at my high school, and I would do things like just walk into a class as it's taking place and start talking about 9/11 and handing out DVDs. And one thing I made sure that I did was get the footage and post it to YouTube and show people what I was doing and try and inspire other people to take action. And I think it really worked. A lot of other people that were in high school, people such as Robert Wanick, started doing similar things and having the same effect that I did.
Very nice. I remember maybe this is one of the earlier ones of you going about through parks on residential streets, putting them under the windshield wiper, going door to door. So that was kind of fun. It was kind of sped up as well, wasn't it? If I'm remembering the right clip.
We just tried to get really creative with how we got the information out there and how we handed out the DVDs. And then a big part of it was making the video, of course, and I would use music that I produced myself and music that other friends of mine produced and in the videos. And that was a big part of it, was making the videos and inspiring others.
Right, right. One of your, well, how far would it be in? One of the big ones was the Walmart video. You know, that was, as far as I know, you know, real popular, you know, throughout the truth community. So did you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. I always get asked about that one. I think it's what I'm most well known for anyway, because of the amount of views. And, yeah, basically we just went into a Walmart. We had the intercom code and got on the intercom, went around to many different phones in the store, and then just walked right out after. And I didn't really think, I knew it would be a popular video, but I didn't think it would go as viral as it did. And it's now been seen by well over a million people all the different versions and being in, the Alex Jones film Truth Rising. So yeah, and I think it's a great way. I mean, I took some criticism from people even in the 9/11 truth movement.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not a good way to do it. But I mean, you just gotta get creative, and not one way is gonna show everybody. We gotta try different ways and take it from different angles.
Yeah. Well, it seems, you know, watching, you know, from here in Calgary, I'm watching you from BC here. You know, and we're kind of keeping track of what everyone's doing, as, you know, as we do. You know, there's lots of 9/11 truthers, but, you know, there's fewer that are kind of, you know, I don't know, you know, more active and more representative, you know, whether through its, you know, Google video or YouTube. You know, that seems to be where the messages are coming from. Like, another one that was a big one was with Jack Layton when he came to speak in Calgary. That was, I remember it seemed like right after that happened that, you know, and you put that on the internet, there was like this real positive feeling that maybe the NDP in Canada are going to, you know, break the code of silence on 9/11. Did you want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, actually, I found out the day before he came to Calgary. I was going through my email and somebody had emailed me and told me that he was going to be doing a book signing. So I went there, I brought my camera and another cameraman, and I waited till he went through the lineup and everybody got their book signed. I was kind of at the end of the lineup so I could talk to him a little bit longer. And I just questioned him about 9/11 truth, what he thought about it, and I also questioned him about the North American Union. And he said that he was friends with Barry Zwicker and that they had the information and he's looking into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I posted that video online, and I think it was like 6 months later during the election, they played that video clip of me interviewing Jack Layton on CBC National News.
That's right, man.
And they questioned him about it and they said, "Do you believe Barry Zwicker's theories?" And he said no, of course, and so that was kind of sad. But, it kind of became an issue in the election. I made 9/11 truth get into the election.
Yeah, and in a small way, yeah, absolutely, man. You broke the CBC, and not too many people have in Canada. So,
yep, sure.
Right on. Let me see, I want to get back to that Walmart. Have they tried to come after you or to slap your wrist or what?
No, actually we did it a second time too after, and we had gotten caught after just a couple of them, and they just kind of escorted us out the store, and I haven't gone back since. I don't know if I plan on doing it again, but maybe we'll see another one in the future.
Yeah. You being in Calgary, of course, we have to talk about the visit by Bush. That was a pretty big event. Why don't you tell us about that?
It was closed to the media. And it was an invite-only event, and they only got to hear him speak for about an hour or so. And they had to pay. They were invited, and then they had to pay for their meal. And Splitting the Sky wanted to make a citizen's arrest on George Bush at this event. There was a couple hundred people at the event. And he went up to the police and asked them, he said, "Are you going to arrest George Bush? We we want to arrest George Bush. He's wanted for crimes against humanity. And they said, no, we're not going to arrest George Bush. And he said, well, if you're not going to arrest George Bush, then it's my duty as a citizen to go in there and arrest George Bush. And he didn't touch the police. He had his hands up in the air, broke through the line, and they took him down, arrested him, took him away. I'm sure you heard the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a matter of fact, well, I mean, he was on the 2 weeks following that event. And actually, this last time, it was a fun drive last week, and John, Splitting the Sky, made a quick appearance to, you know, encourage people to, you know, to tell them how important independent media is, you know, and citizen journalism, you know, which I would put you in. Anyway, he had a lot of good things to say about you in, you know, your diligence of getting that story on video. I know my buddy Wayne Ponte with War Criminals Out also agreed that, you know, you had the best footage of the day, and there's a number of your pieces on that website as well.
Yeah, and that just shows how important it is to get this footage and to show what's really going on. And we're actually using that footage that I recorded. We had two different angles. I was holding the one camera, and then I had a second angle. And we're actually using that footage in his case now to show what actually happened, so they can't try to trump up any charges on him. And they actually drop the assault charge because it's clear on the video that he didn't assault anybody.
Very nice. Huh? Well done. What, actually, that reminds me, I was visiting, now are you the webmaster of the Calgary911truth.org?
I actually didn't start the site. Another patriot in Calgary started the site.
Okay.
And I just kind of went on with it. But yeah, I'm basically the main editor of it now. He has other responsibilities. And I just try to update it when I can. You'll find all the information about my upcoming film on Calgary911truth.org in the near future.
Nice, nice. Yeah, we haven't got to that yet. Although we could go there. Let me jump in first. What the thing that stood out for me when I visited your website, that's Calgary911truth.org, is the We Are Changed Live segment, in which you had collected videos of, well, bad cops doing bad things to basically, you know, innocent people, or, you know, that was pretty frightening, man. How long now? Is there a We Are Changed chapter in Calgary, or how are you hooked in with them?
There's not a chapter officially. I mean, it's pretty much, we're pretty much all the same thing. We just want freedom. We didn't start one because of the Calgary 911 Truth Group. We've already formed, and we just kept that website. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I started doing the We Are Changed live on Mogillis.com a couple weeks ago with Robert Wanick and Luke Radowski. And yeah, the other last Sunday there, I was just showing a handful of the police brutality clips and going through them and just showing what's going on with that. I mean, I only picked like 10 videos out of so many police brutality videos, and that's another example of how this is so important to have this footage and to have all this recorded, because a lot of police officers aren't getting away with what they're doing because of this.
Do you think it'd be a good idea for average citizens to go about with their camcorders and you know, be a presence on the streets, or is that, you know, would that be too confrontational with the cops? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think everybody, you know, should have a camera, and I always carry a camera on in case you, I mean, we are the new media. The mainstream media nowadays isn't really doing their job, and that's why their numbers are shrinking, and more people are turning to the alternative media, like shows like yours, where they can get uncensored information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, while, you know, I don't have, and yourself, you know, corporate, you know, trillions behind us to do investigative journalism, I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, like anything on the Internet, you have to make up your own mind. And, you know, the more different views you get, the more likely it is that you're going to come to, well, you know, an aspect of you that's most close to the truth, I suppose. What are your thoughts on where is it going? Is it going to be privatized and streamlined for the pay sites only? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we see them incrementally trying to push Internet 2 right now, and a lot of sites are being censored, and YouTube videos are being censored. We've caught them censoring my videos, and yeah, it seems like they're pushing towards some kind of censored internet, not as free as what we're seeing now, because of the effect that people are having.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're scared of that. So.
Yeah. You know, I'm a strong critic of corporate media, and I believe not only are they pointing at celebrities and sports instead of news, and presenting that as news. They're also, purposefully misinforming people in most every area. I think that this would be a far greater society if we lost, corporate media and started again from the bottom up. That is so important to, the future of the human race, really.
Yeah, and a lot of people have said to me, why are you wasting your time on this? Why do you care about 9/11 so much?
Okay.
Why are you wasting your time on the celebrities and caring about how much Lindsay Lohan weighs or, mindless things that the corporate media is pushing as news?
Yeah.
Why are they wasting their lives on that and not looking into things like 9/11? Mm. And why do I spend so much time on 9/11? Well, look at what it's been the justification for.
Yeah.
And our freedoms are being taken away because of 9/11. So that's why I care about 9/11 so much. That's why I spend so much time on this.
Mm-hmm. So citizen journalism. Now, I know. You wanted to talk about an upcoming movie. Now, from what I understand, this might be close to a full-length documentary. Tell us a little bit about this. I'm pretty sure the title is still Activist. Is that correct?
Yep. And you can check out trailers for that on YouTube. Just type Activist trailer in, and there's a couple trailers up. But, yeah, I've basically just been working on this film for about a year and a half now, but it's been like 4 years in the making because it documents right from the beginning up until the Bush event, basically.
Okay.
And, I don't want to make it, I don't want to toot my own horn. I just want to show people what the power of activism is with that documentary and what they can achieve. And it shows you what I achieved and being on all these big news shows, just affecting all this change. So, yeah, it's just basically going to go over everything. It's going to go over the debunker that started following me around after an event. He showed up and basically started stalking me after that, harassing me, coming to all the events. So it's going to go over that, and it's going to have some facts about 9/11 in there, too, for people that don't really know about that.
Right. So this guy hasn't been able to convince you that 9/11 was the way the official story went?
I don't know. With those diagrams he drew.
Okay. So have you won him over, or are you guys buddies now, or what's up?
Oh, no.
No, eh? Ah, shitty. Oh, well.
No, I think he's just too far gone. He's too close-minded, and that's why he's doing it. Actually, I don't really know why he feels the need to come out and do this. I mean, if he doesn't believe that 9/11 was an inside job, that's fine. I just want people to make up their own mind, and I'm totally fine with him thinking that, it was some guy in a cave, if he wants to think that. But when it borderlines harassment and all these things, it's getting pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically the film is just going to show the power of activism. It's almost done, and then we just got to make the DVDs. It's going to be available online for free, of course, and you can buy the DVDs. And just keep an eye on Calgary911Truth.org for any information about that.
Mm. Very cool. Okay, so where do you see Canada going in the next, you know, what's going on with Canada's sovereignty, if we have any? Where's Canada standing? Where's it going?
I see them really trying to push a North American Union right now. And the SPP documents have come out, and they're just horrifying of how they want to push this North American Union through, like, false flag terror attacks and, you know, all these viruses and all this. So it's pretty scary. But people need to realize what's going on and stand up, and we can affect change. People need to stop having the mindset that they can't affect change. They can't do anything about what's going on. This world, I've seen that with so many people. They might even know what's going on, but just, you know, oh yeah, I know 9/11 was an inside job, but what can you do about it? I've seen that mindset a lot. And people need to realize that they can do something about it, and that's why I'm making this film, is just to show people that they actually can do something about what's going on in this world.
Nice, nice. Well, maybe there's going to be some high school showings. I know there's a group in, just north of Nanaimo, a group of young peace activists that are going around doing movie nights and, you know, getting a lot of support from the community as well.
Right on. That's great. Right. And that's what I did. I held little screenings. And when this film comes out, it's going to be screened at the Plaza Theater.
Really?
In Calgary here, which is a smaller theater that shows independent films.
Nice.
But it's always really busy. It's a good little spot. And so that's going to be shown there. And we've had other film showings there, like Endgame.
Okay,
and other,
yeah,
9/11 truth films. And it's really good to have those.
Nice, nice. Yeah, for a little while I was hosting truth documentaries at a bar, a downtown bar, and it didn't go over very well. You know, people didn't want to get shushed, you know, by the few that were listening, and so, yeah, I was in it was downtown, you know, and that's kind of a different mentality, and so...
Well, at least you tried.
Yeah, we had a couple showings, and... you know, thank you, but we'll go back to the college next time. Yeah. Speaking of showings, in Edmonton in maybe 3 days, we've got Edmonton Questions 9/11 with Barry Zwicker, who was on the show 2 weeks back, and, you know, another media personality. So I'm a big fan of Barry's. Are you by chance going up to listen?
I'm not going to be able to make it. That really sucks, but I'm not going to be able to make it. I've had other plans for a while now, and just trying to get this film done. I'm working full-time, going to school, so I've just been really busy lately.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be able to make it out there. But, yeah, events like that are fantastic to have.
Nice.
And that's what we need to keep doing. We need to keep pushing this, and we're not going to stop until we get justice. Yeah. And we're not going to stop until we get justice for the people who died on 9/11 and the 24 Canadian citizens who died that day.
Or the 100 and change.
Keep, yes.
You know, in Afghanistan since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate. I'm really disheartened. And as a matter of fact, I haven't mentioned this to my listeners before. I guess I just kind of agreed that I'm going to take a little bit of time off in the summer, you know, because this is a live weekly show, and, you know, I want to be able to, you know, do some camping and kind of drop the stress level down a couple notches, you know, for a little while, and remember to have fun, because this is a difficult, you know, studying modern history is not pretty.
Absolutely. And that's why, you know, I kind of add a little bit of humor to the videos. I kind of, you know, dressing up like Santa Claus during Christmas and handing out DVDs with candy canes attached to them. You kind of got to lighten up the information a little bit so, you know, people will actually look into it. And, yeah, this stuff isn't pretty when you look into what these guys are doing. And so, yeah, people have to lighten up, but they also have to realize what's going on in this world.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly different levels of people, you know, some, you know, like you were saying, your chap that, you know, is too far gone, he's not gonna, but mm-hmm. I'm sure you and I have both witnessed many people that we've kind of, you know, won over through, you know, gentle nudging of some facts, you know?
Absolutely.
And then there's, you know, people in the middle that are attempting to kind of live in both realities. And that's a little bit awkward as well. You know, maybe your job depends on you, you know, shutting up, you know, and not perhaps letting your, you know, your morals overspeak, you know, for your common sense. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But I certainly think that that's part of the problem, you know, that people, I think, are afraid that if they speak out, they're going to perhaps sacrifice their well-being, at least their financial well-being.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Have you had any luck with politicians in Calgary? Have you been emailing them trying to get different responses?
Absolutely, but they won't give us any response. I've tried to talk to the mayor about it a lot, and just any politicians, really, and no, they don't seem like it's something that really affects them or that they need to worry about. So that's too bad.
It is, and when you get higher up, you know, and you're an MP or you know, hold a cabinet position, this sounds like an extremist thing to say, but I really think I could argue to say that it's accurate that at a certain level, you are either ignorant, which I, you know, these are not dumb people that make it that far, or you are knowingly involved and, you know, guilty kind of by keeping your mouth shut as well.
Yeah.
But then again, how can we say, oh, well, they're all corrupt? No, of course they're not all corrupt, but something stops them from, you know, starting the ball rolling that, no, this is not the Canada we want. You know, we should be working for our constituents, not for the corporations.
Yeah. I think they just recently proved, the United States government, how much they don't really care about what they're doing, with the plane flyover of the lookalike Air Force One that they did their little photo op over Manhattan there.
Okay, now when was this? I haven't been following the story. I knew of it. Fill me in. What exactly happened?
Yeah, it was just the other day there. They flew a plane, a lookalike Air Force One plane, over to supposedly do a photo op, and the CBS reported that the Pentagon knew that the photo op would raise public concern and draw back memories of 9/11, but they went ahead and did it anyway.
Okay.
People can go to Calgary911truth.org and I actually posted a video of the flyover.
Oh, okay, nice.
What a waste of taxpayers' dollars, and why would they do that? They were evacuating buildings. And people were running and freaking out.
Right.
And they didn't inform the media. Supposedly they didn't even, the president, Barack Obama, didn't even know about it.
Huh.
And he apologized. I think that kind of shows, you know, how much control the president really has over things.
Okay.
With this shadow government, you know, just doing things like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing an audio piece later by, a guy I've got a lot of respect for, Keith Olbermann of MSNBC, and he's talking about Obama and how, you know, the worst thing that you could possibly do is what Obama's doing, and that's giving basically a free pass to the war criminals of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Very frustrating, you know. I mean, that's this whole thing, you know, with Bush coming to Calgary, and now Condoleezza Rice is coming back.
Yep, May 13th, anybody in Calgary, please attend the Condoleezza Rice protest. I think it's going to be at the University of Calgary.
Yeah.
I'll post more information about it in the next couple of days. But yeah, all these politicians are coming through town.
Mm-hmm.
So Calgary is a big spot for that because of all the conservatives in Calgary. Calgary's the highest, it has the highest level of Americans living in it in any other place in Canada.
Okay, so. I didn't know that. And I guess that's primarily due to the energy reserves?
Yes.
Okay. I heard an interesting statistic concerning, kind of a Scandinavian country. They were comparing this trust fund that Alberta apparently is saving for you and your children and grandchildren, that, you know, keep Alberta, wealthy and prosperous forever. And the number is so small compared to this other country who's been saving money for half the amount of time. And I think they have like 20 times the amount of money in this little fund. It's like, oh, man, you know, it's like, is that a big thing? Or are they pushing, you know, that Alberta's wealthy because of our oil and let's, you know, do anything to keep this going?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the now are a lot of the politicians former oil people, like provincially? Are you following that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And even like a lot of just the media here in Calgary and QR77 here in Calgary, the talk radio, it's all neocons. And that's another thing I started doing back when I was in high school was just phoning into these neocon talk radio shows and talking about 9/11 truth, and the one guy wouldn't even let me get a word out. He just kept talking over me, and then basically just cut me off. So yeah, it's an interesting place to be living in and doing this kind of thing with all this activism, and it's hard to get people involved here in Calgary. It's really hard to get people involved because of how conservative Calgary is, and I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm a libertarian. I just want freedom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the promises that we were told when we were young, you know, that what a wonderful place we have, and this is why. And actually, we're slowly, that is kind of disappearing. The reasons why, you know, for example, Canada is so proud of their international reputation, well, you know, right now, we're not following any of the things that made us feel proud about ourselves.
Exactly.
And that's not really being replaced with anything other than, well, then what? Hockey? You know, I mean, what else is there? You know, what is Canadian culture right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the CBC, which was certainly a backbone for a long time, that's going to be disappearing more and more.
Yeah.
So that's a sad thing. Alice, can you close that door, please? Do you want to take a breather? I'll throw on a song, and then we can come back and carry on, or...
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, nice. So, stay on the phone. I'm going to take care of a little bit of business, and I'll actually be talking to you while the song is playing. People won't know that. So, all right, hang tight, brother, and I'll get back to you in a sec.
All right.
Okay, we've been listening in discussion with Nathan Wolden of Calgary 9/11 Truth, a videographer. Who has a, well, close to it. I don't know if he did say it was a full-length documentary, but anyways, it's called Activist, and it's about, well, his experiences of being an activist, and that's kind of a neat way to document a lot of things. Okay, so, but of course, you are also listening to the Unbought and Unbossed show, where CHLY 101.7 FM. The song we are going to hear is In Search of Enemies, by Clan Dykin. They are the Dykin brothers. So I'm going to put that on. I'm going to wet my whistle, and then Nathan and I will come back and chat for a bit longer. So that's what we're going to do. All right. See you in a minute. Okay, there it was. That is Clan Dykin. And as we promised, here is Nathan Molten. Molten Steel. Now that's your, what would you call it, your publishing name, or what's that about?
Yeah, just my little production company name, I guess you can call it.
Okay.
Yeah, my last name's Molten, spelled differently, but pronounced just like Molten Steel, which was found underneath the World Trade Center, as we all know.
Yeah, man.
If you haven't heard about
Can you speak up a little bit louder?
Yeah, if you haven't heard about the molten steel underneath the World Trade Center, you can just Google molten steel underneath WTC, and you can see that. And that wouldn't have happened from jet fuel. Jet fuel can't burn for days and days at temperatures that high. So I kind of use that. I tied it in with my last name and just Molten Steel Productions. Mm. And that's what I had on all of my videos, just right at the beginning and right at the end, Molten Steel Productions.
Nice, huh?
And people kind of caught on to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's a catch, right? It's a hook.
Yeah.
How many videos have you posted or have done?
Over 50.
Wow.
Now for sure, yeah, up on the YouTube page.
Okay. Okay.
And in the film, there's going to be a lot of stuff that I didn't post. A lot of things that I didn't post to YouTube that I would like to show everybody.
Yeah. So it'll be kind of a greatest hits as well as rare stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Did Alex Jones, did you ask him to be a part of the show?
A part of,
A part of your activist, yeah.
Well, there's going to be the clip of me going on his show and that stuff. Yeah, but with the Alex Jones film Truth Rising, they contacted me and said that they loved my Walmart clip there and they wanted to have it in one of Alex Jones's new films that was coming out.
Yeah.
So I sent them the tapes and shortly after that film came out, and that was great.
Nice. Alex seems to be upsetting, you know, various truthers a little bit more now than even in the past. What are your thoughts on that? You know, like, we could also kind of say that, you know, there's the difference, say, between the We Are Change, which is a little bit more in your face, versus the, you know, kind of softer civil informationing, as a lot of Canadians will call it. What are your thoughts on that? And is there room for everyone?
Absolutely. And Alex Jones is just a alternative news source. I mean, don't make Alex Jones God. Don't make Nathan Moulton, you know, God or some kind of leader. That's not, you know, what we're focusing on. And yeah, whether it's civil information, which is basically what we've been doing, it's been a little bit more in your face, but it's civil. We're not breaking any laws. We're not doing anything like that. So yeah, absolutely. We need all these different ways of going about it and getting the truth out there.
Nice, nice. Yeah. I agree. You know, like, all people are not the same, and they're going to be able to be receptive to different, you know, different personalities are going to take in information in different ways, I would assume.
Exactly. And if people want to go out there and make a change, all you got to do is, first of all, get informed, know what you're talking about when you go out there, know your rights, and, yeah, just make some DVDs, make flyers. It's really easy. Contact other people. People can help you out. People helped me out make hundreds and hundreds of DVDs, and I've handed out hundreds of thousands of DVDs and flyers now, and
wow,
that's really effective, and just inform others.
Hmm.
And a big part of it, as I mentioned, is record yourself informing others and then inspire others to take action.
Okay, I like that. Very nice. So maybe I can... Oh, that Condoleezza Rice, that's like in a week and a half, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, I'll get you back on when that comes around. I was forgetting it was, you know, like right now. Okay, so let me see. Well, let's wrap this baby up a little bit. So tell us again, your movie Activist, you're expecting it out when?
Possibly the end of May here. Okay. I had originally set the date for sometime in May.
Okay.
But yeah, it's taking a little longer than I had expected with the narrations.
Okay, okay.
And all of that. So yeah, hopefully the end of May or June.
Right. And are you guys mostly self-taught that are working on this? Is that part of it as well, that you're kind of learning as you go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I used to make music, and that's how I kind of got into the video editing, because I was already into music editing.
Okay.
And yeah, basically just started, I started off with Windows Movie Maker.
Okay, yeah.
Making these videos, and it's just gotten better and better, and just keep informing myself and keep informing others.
Huh. Nice, man. Hey, it's been a real pleasure speaking to you, and, you know, thanks for your, you know, the work you've done and your inspiration to others. And right on, man.
Thank you. Keep up the great work, and thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely, Nathan. Okay, brother, you be well, and let's do this again before too long.
Yeah, for sure. I'll come back and update you what happened with Condoleezza Rice.
There we go. Nice.
All right, thanks, man.
Okay, brother.
Bye.
Be well. Okay, there we go. How's that? Nathan Moulton, just like molten steel. So there we are. There we are. What are we going to do? I'm going to play you a couple addy things, and then we're going to hear a song by Bob Dylan. And I think this is only a day old. It might be 2 days old. This is his favorite, or his, Dylan's my favorite. His latest, it is called Together Through Life. And I've given it one quick listen, and it didn't quite work for me, and I have a feeling that's going to be a good thing. Like, I remember back in the day, I would get all the new Tragically Hip CDs, and I'd take them home and put them on, and the first time I'm like, oh, yuck, it's different. It's something different. And then, but it's almost like a challenge, you know, you guys, a lot of you are music fans, and I'm sure you know what I'm saying. So, but the song I've chosen, it's called It's All Good. This is the last track, number 10. So, Bob Dylan, right on, buddy, you just keep on going. And his album last year, was it Telltale Signs, I think? It was a 2 and a 3 disc of rare and unreleased of the last 20 years or so. That stayed on my CD carousel for a long time. That was definitely, you know, if that's an indication, it was the album of the year at Raymond's house. So let's shut up. Oh, Alice is yes, we're in agreement on that one. Okay, very well. What are we gonna do first? We're gonna play the clips first, and then we'll do Dylan. All right.
Talk about me, baby. If you, oh
yeah. Yeah. All right, Brett and Woofy show. Oh no, that's not a woof. I take that back. Sorry. However. Phil from Hornby Island called up and wanted to know whether or not I was going to touch on the STV, the single transferable vote, coming up, the referendum on the May 12th election. And I think that this is something we need to do. There are a lot of things that we need to do, but I really feel that this single transferable vote will allow for the smaller, newer, more obscure party to take a placement in our parliament, or I'm sorry, in our legislature here in BC, and that is a good thing. And it seems to me that most of the money is against it, and, well, that might be your answer right there, right? So, go out and vote, and I ask you to say yes and give something new a try, because the one we're using is broken. Okay, so we're going to hear that, and then after that, Keith Olbermann, one of my favorite TV news personalities. He's, I guess, does a lot of editorializing, and this specific editorial is on Obama, the new president, and how he's going to let the previous administration go of all their war crimes, and I don't think 9/11 is on his target yet, so we're going to have to work a little bit harder on that one, aren't we? But no, I'm kidding. He's a puppet, isn't he? Come on, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. But while we still have an election, we might as well try to get the biggest bang as we can, right? So, all right, it's corrupt, but let's pretend it's not and that we can do something about it. All right, then. Be back shortly.
Does this sound fair to you?
3 elections ago, one party got 37,000 more votes, but the other party formed government.
That's not fair.
Next time, 42% of voters got only 3% of the seats.
That's not representative. STV electoral reform means fair election results.
And accountable politicians.
It's easy to use. See how at STV.ca.
Then join thousands of British Columbians like these.
And vote for fairness with STV electoral reform.
As promised, a special comment now on the president's revelation of the remainder of this nightmare of Bush administration torture memos. This president has gone where few before him dared. The dirty laundry, illegal, un-American, self-defeating, self-destructive. is out for all to see. Mr. Obama deserves our praise and our thanks for that. And yet he has gone but halfway, and in this case, in far too many respects, half the distance is worse than standing still. Today, Mr. President, in acknowledging these science fiction-like documents, you said that this is a time for reflection, not retribution. I respect the strong views and emotions that these issues evoke. We have been through a dark and painful chapter in our history, but at a time of great challenges and disturbing disunity, nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past. Mr. President, you're wrong. What you describe would be not spent energy, but catharsis. Not blame laid, but responsibility ascribed. You continued, our national greatness is embedded in America's ability to write its course in concert with our core values and to move forward with confidence. That is why we must resist the forces that divide us and instead come together on behalf of our common future. Indeed we must, Mr. President, and the forces of which you speak are the ones lingering with pervasive stench from the previous administration. Far more than a criminal stench, sir, an immoral one. One we cannot let be recreated in this nation. One, President Obama, it is your responsibility to make sure cannot be recreated. Forgive me for quoting from a comment I offered the night before the inauguration, but this goes to the core of the President's commendable but wholly naive intention here. His country has never moved forward with confidence without first cleansing itself of its mistaken past. In point of fact, every effort to merely draw a line in the sand and declare the past dead has served only to keep the past alive and often to strengthen it. We moved forward with slavery and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and 89 years later we had buried 600,000 of our sons and brothers in a civil war. After that war's ending, we moved forward without the social restructuring and without the protection of the rights of minorities in the South, and a century later, we had not only not resolved anything, but black leaders were still being assassinated in our southern cities. We moved forward with Germany in the reconstruction of Europe after the First World War. Nobody even arrested the German Kaiser, let alone conducted war crimes trials then, and 19 years later, there was an indescribably more evil Germany and a more heartrending Second World War. We moved forward with the trusts of the early 1900s, and today we are at the mercy of corporations which are too big to fail. We moved forward with the Palmer Raids and got McCarthyism, and we moved forward with McCarthyism and got Watergate. We moved forward with Watergate, and junior members of the Ford administration realized how little was ultimately at risk. They grew up to be Paul Wolfowitz and Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. But, Mr. President, when you say we must come together on behalf of our common future, you are entirely correct. We must focus on getting things right in the future, as opposed to looking at what we got wrong in the past. That means prosecuting all those involved in the Bush administration's torture of prisoners, even if the results are nominal punishments or merely new laws. Your only other option is to let this sit and fester indefinitely. Because, sir, someday there will be another Republican president, or even a Democrat, just as blind as Mr. Bush, to ethics and this country's moral force. And he will look back to what you did about Mr. Bush, or what you did not do. And he will see precedent. Or as Mr. Cheney saw, he will see how not to get caught the next time. Prosecute, Mr. President, even if you get not one conviction, you will still have accomplished good for generations unborn. Merely by acting, you will deny a further wrong, that this construction will enter the history books. Torture was legal. It worked. It saved the country. The end. This must not be. It is our intention, you said today, to assure those who carried out their duties, relying in good faith upon legal advice from the Department of Justice, that they will not be subject to prosecution. Mr. President, you are making history's easiest, most often made, most dangerous mistake. You are accepting the defense that somebody was just following orders. At the end of his first year in office, Mr. Lincoln tried to contextualize the Civil War for those who still wanted to compromise with evils of secession and slavery. The struggle of today, Lincoln wrote, is not altogether for today, it is for a vast future also. Mr. President, you have now been handed the beginning of that vast future. Use it to protect our children and our distant descendants from anything like this ever happening again by showing them that those who did this were neither unfairly scapegoated nor absolved. It is good to say we won't do it again. It is not, however, enough.
Very nice. That is Keith Olbermann talking to Obama, and, well, he's got a tough job, doesn't he? Obama, I don't know if I can handle that one. I just don't know. I probably couldn't. I probably couldn't, to be honest. That's just a little too much for me.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the theme song for the CHLY Community Campus Events Calendar. Well, what do we have for you? The first one. Okay, very nice. That is our Campus Community Updates. And that is brought to us by the fine supporters of CHLY and the Unbought and Unbossed show. They are Bernie at Seaview Automotive, Hornby Island Painting, and Mike, WarCriminalsOut.com, Edmonton 911 Truth, and Fraser Valley 911 Truth. So, well done. Of course, you've been listening to John Lennon, I Don't Want to Be a Soldier, and I really don't want you to be a soldier. And there's another fellow who didn't want to be a soldier either, Cliff Cornell. I've got a clipping here from the Associated Press, April 28th, so that's yesterday. It says, a one-year prison term for U.S. deserter who fled to Canada. Let me read this to you quickly. A U.S. soldier who tearfully apologized for going to Canada to avoid deploying to Iraq was sentenced Thursday by a military court to a year in prison. Specialist Cliff Cornell, who pleaded guilty to desertion, spent 4 years in B.C. before the Canadian government denied him asylum as a war objector. There's one of the changes that I was talking about earlier that Canadians were, thought they might have been proud of being Canadians, and, well, we're just sending them back to the war machine, aren't they? Even though the war is completely bogus, it's based on lies, easily provable. Shame on Canada for sure. Carrying on here, Cornell came back to the U.S. and turned himself in to authorities in February to avoid being deported. The 28-year-old soldier from Mountain Home, Arkansas, in a Fort Stewart courtroom Tuesday, that's yesterday, told the judge he was sorry. He said he fled to Canada 1 month before his 3rd Infantry Division unit was scheduled to deploy to Iraq because he feared for his own life and couldn't stomach the thought of killing anyone. Quote, "It was wrong for me to leave my unit and go to Canada," Cornell said. "I was very anxious about whether I might be asked to do things that might violate my conscience. I felt trapped. I didn't know what to do." The judge, Colonel Tara Osborne, also ordered Cornell's rank be reduced to private and for him to receive a bad conduct discharge. Cornell was the 3rd U.S. service member to be tried by the military for fleeing to Canada. That's a pretty shitty story, eh? That is unfortunate. Well, that brave man is going to prison, and I'm going to read you from a book about the experiences of being in prison. This comes to us from the autobiography of Splitting the Sky, From Attica to Gustafson Lake. Splitting the Sky is becoming a fairly regular guest on this show, and if you've heard him speak, you know why. Well, I'm reading, this is a very, very thick book. What are we looking at? 650 pages. The thing is huge. It's as large as a textbook. It is not an easy read. I'm not saying it's not well written. It is. But it's in a very human way. Well, let me read how he opens it up, and he acknowledges that he's not a writer by trade. Splitting the Sky. "Let me start out by saying that I am not an author by any formal training, but a man with a lot of life experience. I have been procrastinating many years on writing this damned thing, knowing very well that writing it could cost me my life, which I suppose any human being would be reluctant to chance." There's an honesty to this writing that is quite shocking, due in part to less formal training in writing. And so where we are in this story, I'm going to guess it's 1970. He's not yet at Attica State Prison, where the infamous slaughter of the prisoners took place, where Splitting the Sky was labeled the ringleader of that, and became a political prisoner due to that. This is prior to that, and he Oh, let's see if I can recall. He was in prison, and he beat the snot out of some guy to basically show that, you know, he was his own bitch. And so they just moved him to another one. And let's take up this story. If there's any kids listening, you know, you might want to censor your parents' ears. So here we are from the autobiography of Splitting the Sky. This is page 13. Corruption in government and most people's apathy towards taking action against the ruthless leadership they voted into office can be analogous to one of taking a crap. At first you smell the shit permeating the entire room, but if you sit there long enough, you don't even notice the stench. Anyway, the rats weren't half as frightening as the sound of 20 goons coming to give us our welcome ass beating. We hadn't even healed from the last two beatings in Kawasaki, but those impotent albinos were determined to impress upon us that they would kill us if we started anything there. After they beat our asses naked, they came by and threw buckets of water on us at night. They opened up the windows to let in the cold air, and we damn near shivered to death. Can you imagine trying to wrap your body with toilet paper to stay warm? Is that rehabilitation or sadistic torture? You tell me. After about 4 agonizing months in the hellhole, we were released once again to a larger cage. Try to imagine what it must be like to sit in a cage for 24 hours a day. No books at that particular time, no radio, no TV, no mail from the outside world, no talking. 1 bug-infested meal a day, beating rats out of our cage and having the KKK threaten to kill us on a daily basis. There was absolutely no sunlight that would come through the small windows that haven't been washed in 50 to 100 years. Have you ever heard the screams of a man who has gone stark raving mad under this brutal form of psychological warfare? Thousands have attempted suicide in an attempt to free themselves from this catastrophic animal trap, even if it meant being carried out in a wooden box. Weaker-minded people completely shatter under this form of state-funded mind control. The only way to maintain any sense of sanity is to commit yourself to fighting them at any personal cost. Otherwise, you become completely devoid of self-will, dignity, and, of course, initiative. There were really only a few things you could keep a focus or a rein on your mind so as not to submit to the insanity brought on by this barbaric process of sensory deprivation. That's right. Deprive a person of any form of sense stimulation and watch people's illusionary world views crumble before your eyes. One antidote to counteract lack of sensory stimulus was to masturbate daily, or even just play with it until you passed out. In between pulling your prick and sleep, you would exercise with push-ups, sit-ups, jumping jacks, and what have you. As you lay around, you reminisce about the woman you had made love to and tried to visualize the actual moment in color if possible. A young man's penis never dies unless he has bought the lies of warts and eternal damnation brought to him by the biggest corporation and landowner of all time, the Vatican. In any event, if solitary confinement doesn't break you, then you were brought before some idiot psychotherapists and pronounced legally insane. If it is, that is if they just don't kill you and bury you in an unmarked grave outside the prison or inside the walls of a new prison wing. That's right. Go back a few years to a prison in upstate New York and find out why the FBI was sent in to monitor the outright killings of inmates and the skeletons found buried in the walls or concrete floors. You call the FBI headquarters and ask them if they ever had to put surveillance cameras in any of the joints in New York State. do some of your own research and then tell me what they had to say. That's not to say that the FBI hasn't got enough of their own skeletons to hide, sort of like asking the fox to tell what's going on in the chicken coop. One sec, kids, let me wet my whistle here. This is some pretty powerful stuff. And I could almost have opened this book up randomly. It's really impressive. Each paragraph is powerful. Okay, where did I stop? Oh, yes. After you were pronounced clinically insane and a threat to the rest of the prison population, the psychs would refer you to the RX program. Your first treatment for mental recovery was to be put on daily doses of Thorazine, which, when addiction sets in, puts you into a zombified state of mind. If you fought against this systematic drugging, you were beaten damned near to death, and while unconscious, taken to a neo-Nazi surgeon, and your frontal lobe was removed from the other six compartments that constitute your brain. Lobotomies performed on militant activists turned strong warriors into babbling idiots. Hitler learned a lot from U.S. penal practices, and yes, even from the reservation structure set up by the U.S. and Canadian colonial regimes. I think you get my drift. That's a pretty powerful piece. I've only known about splitting this guy for about a year now. And the man has integrity. Listen to my past shows. Let me give him my web address. I'm at unbossed.livejournal.com. That's unbossed, UNBOSSED, .livejournal.com. Okay. We got about 20 minutes to go. I told you about my new Bruce Coburn. I know I talked about the Dylan, but my other favorite singer-songwriter is Canadian Bruce Coburn. He does my opening theme song music. This is a brand new CD, excuse me, called Slice O' Life, Bruce Coburn Live Solo. So it's just Bruce, and I'm pretty sure it's all acoustic. It's a double CD set. And well done, Bruce is another person with intelligence and courage to tell his truth. And that's all I'm asking anyone who's listening. You know, be proud of yourself at the end of the night. And, you know, let's make this place the place that we want it to be. I think that's a pretty popular sentiment on this whole crazy truth movement thing. So let me... what are we going to hear? Oh, this is maybe my favorite Bruce Coburn song. It's called Child of the Wind. And this is live and acoustic. And I'll let you know what we're going to listen to for the rest of the show then. I don't know yet. I'm practicing a new outline right now. And I don't have times next to everything. And I'm trying to, not that I'm slacking, but I'm getting a little more experience in this. I don't have to have it down minute by minute like I was doing, you know. And for example, you know, people sometimes wouldn't call in because, or if they did, they say, "Well, I know you got a busy show. I'll let you go now," you know. And while that's respectful, I also want to be more respectful to my listeners and encourage them to call in and add their bits of wisdom. You know, whether you agree or disagree with me, I don't really care. You know, as long as it's interesting discussion. Did I finish that thought? I'm not too sure. The original thought was Child of the Wind, and this is one of those songs that can make you cry. And if you need to cry right now, maybe that'd be the time. Okay, see you in a minute.
Of a town in the hoods, of my sweet one down to the cold. There's roads and there's roads, and they call, can't you hear it? Roads of the earth and roads of the spirit. Best roads of all are the ones that aren't certain. One of those is where you'll find me till they drop the big curtain. In the bright diamond sky, these mountains are waiting, brown, green, and dry. I'm too old for the term, but I'll use it anyway. I'll be a child of the wind till the end of my day.
Not pretty. Isn't that just a beauty? That's a Child of the Wind, Bruce Coburn. I'm going to have to try to get Bruce back on the show. Well, not back on. He hasn't been on in the first place. And I just want to let him know that I get a lot of feedback about my theme song. Not about the show, damn it, the theme song. People love that Coburn Action Speak Louder. And that's really fun. And that's really nice. And, you know, music is such a... Oh, it's such a medicine. And, you know, I came in my journey. I guess I came through music first, and I discovered Bob Dylan and really, truly made a large impact on me. Yeah, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? So, you know, hopefully you've got, you know, important music to you that speaks to you and has, you know, strengthened your resolve and, gave you the courage to do whatever it is that you got to do. Well, speaking of courage and resolve, the next person we're going to listen to is David Icke, the independent thinker, author, and lecturer. He's got a world tour going on right now in selected cities, and they're all sold out and fantastic. Oh, and I was telling you a couple of weeks that I ordered one of his videos, and it's the first time I ordered off the internet, and unfortunately, Ike's people got back to me and said that they're not happy with the quality and they're ditching it. So that DVD doesn't exist. So instead, I got a replacement coming out. It's on the 2012 prophecies and what that might be about. And it's a documentary with, maybe 15, 20, well, different thinkers on the subject, you know, from various fields. This 2012 thing, it really is quite fascinating. And I've discussed it a little bit on the show, not a whole lot. Anyways, where I'm going with this, and actually, I don't think David Icke is, I don't remember him ever speaking out on the 2012 ideas. I wonder. No, I take it back. Two books back, he did. Anyways, regardless, we're going to hear a fairly short clip. Here I am shooting my face off longer, and he's going to be talking. What's going on there, Raymond? He was being interviewed by Project Camelot, and it's about losing sometimes means gaining power over your reality. And he's asking you to really take some big leaps, and it'd be a good idea to get a real thorough reading of history and find out that it's not the way we're told, and then that will help you say, whoa, maybe there's a lot of things that aren't the way we're told, and, you know, just maybe reality in general, our whole place in this solar system and relationship to whatever else is out there. And of course he doesn't know, but he's doing his best to report on his findings. And I'm really impressed with David Icke's political interpretations. And so we're going to take that and take a little bit of a dip down the rabbit hole with this. And then after that, we're going to hear two fairly short clips by two American congressmen, Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul, and they're both talking about the problem that the Federal Reserve in the states, well, it's not federal and they don't have a reserve. Your money isn't worth a damn thing. And, well, it seems now that I'll let these two gentlemen tell the story because they're the experts on it. So that's what we got. David Icke, Dennis Kucinich, Ron Paul. Then I'll be back after that. All righty then. See you in a minute.
It's not just because of information on the internet. It's not just because of information in my books or someone else's books. There's something massive going on, vibrationally, which fits totally with what I got through that psychic in 1990, which was there is a spiritual revolution coming in the second form of a vibrational change. I can see it. In 1990, no evidence. Now, I mean, please, you can see it. People come up to me in LA when I spoke there recently, saying I was absolutely a part of the system until 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I read one of your books, and suddenly I'm just totally different. Now, it's not just because they read one of my books. If you start tuning into this vibrational change, then bang, things can happen real, real quick. And I find it such a good thing that from my experience, I went through all that nightmare experience in the early 1990s when I started to awake not knowing what the hell was happening. Because now you can explain to people that if you have an energetic construct here, which was you believing everything was real and the system was serving you and this is the cutting edge of human evolution and all this nonsense, that vibrational field is vibrating your state of being out, and it will draw to you people, places, ways of life, experiences, etc., locations which fit your inner self, because the outer self is a projection of the inner self. So when you start to transform, this is what happened to me, but I mean that's to everybody, to another state of being, which then draws to you a very different group of people, places, locations, ways of life, etc. There is a transition between the two. It doesn't go, one gone, here you go. This one has to break down as this one emerges. It's a process of one losing power over your reality, another one gaining power. It can happen very quickly, but it's not like instant.
That's actually a great metaphor for what's going in the microcosm.
Exactly.
Planet.
Chair will entertain requests for 1-minute speeches. Gentleman from Ohio.
Mr. Speaker, I request permission to address the House to revise and extend.
Without objection.
At a time when millions of Americans are losing jobs, homes, pensions, our government is prepared to give another trillion to the banks, ready to compound the moral hazard by nationalizing banks, which are allegedly profit-making entities. This is anti-democratic. Instead of nationalizing banks, we should nationalize the money system by placing the Federal Reserve under the U.S. Treasury. End the fractional reserve and stop banks from lending credit into circulation. Then instead of borrowing money from the banks and creating debt, government can spend the money into circulation to rebuild and restore America with money for jobs, housing, health care, and education. I'll soon be introducing legislation to accomplish this. Banking is not a proper function of the government, but oversight is. The Treasury Department should not be outsourcing to the Fed its oversight responsibilities. The Fed, which failed miserably to oversee banks, should be put under Treasury instead. It's time for our government to operate in the public interest, not in the interest of private banks. It's time for us to stop bailing out banks and begin building up America.
Time, gentlemen.
I want to give you an update on H.R. 1207, the bill to audit the Federal Reserve. We're making great progress because a lot of you have helped encourage your member of Congress to co-sponsor the bill. We now have about 39 co-sponsors of the bill. It's been introduced in the Senate, and we're picking up a lot of momentum. And to me, this is very, very important that we do this. The atmosphere in the Congress has definitely changed. It's changed with their attitude about the Federal Reserve System. But overall, there's a tremendous push by the American people for the Congress to wake up and have more transparency. They've heard about the stories of the Congress appropriating $700 billion of TARP funds and nobody knowing where this money went, and it ends up paying huge bonuses to people who broke AIG. So the people are demanding more oversight. And fortunately, they're putting the pressure on the Federal Reserve as well, and that's why we're getting so much support for this piece of legislation. We still have a long way to go, because the special interests are very, very powerful, and they don't want this to happen, and yet I think the momentum is in our direction. In 1950, the law was changed, and it exempted the Federal Reserve of any auditing procedures, and they've run wild since then. And what needs to be done is a certain portion of the code has to be repealed, so that when we ask questions to the Federal Reserve, they have to answer these questions. So to me, this is very, very encouraging, and that we have to keep the heat on. And this has been a project of many groups around the country to get more co-sponsors, because ultimately the Congress will respond if there's enough pressure by the people. This to me is key, because we're literally moving into a crisis period, because although the financial system has fallen and it's hard to be put back together, and that's what they're struggling with, they're putting all the pressure and all the weight is being put on the dollar. When we see these announcements that the dollar can lose 3.5 to 4% in one day, and all the announcements come as the Congress will spend more money and the Fed's going to print more money. Eventually, as I have been saying so long and so often, it is going to be a dollar crisis. We're getting closer to that. A dollar crisis means a political crisis. And the sooner we find out the basic cause of this, which comes from the Federal Reserve, the better. I have argued, of course, that we don't need the Federal Reserve. It's not part of our Constitution. We should get rid of it. But it doesn't happen that way. But if we can get the audit and get the books open, they can answer the questions, I am convinced that the American people will be so outraged that then we will have reform of the monetary system. We will be forced to live within our means. And we need to do this through a transition period rather than waiting for the crisis to hit. But we're approaching that crisis period. So hopefully we can handle this in a more deliberate fashion. Thank you.